Hey everyone, welcome back. Today, we're diving into something that's been on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
Vendor lock-in, especially with these big tech companies. We're going to try to really break it down, how it happens and why something as basic as HTML can actually, you know, give you more control over your own stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with all the stories we hear every day about data breaches, privacy concerns, it's easy to feel kind of helpless, right?
Oh, totally. But like, are we just handing over the keys to our entire digital lives without even realizing it? But, and this is the interesting part, there are ways to fight back.
Right.
And get this, our secret weapon is HTML.
It is good old HTML.
I know, right.
People might be thinking, wait a minute, isn't that just for making websites?
Well, you're not wrong, but here's the thing. HTML is really just about organizing information at its core. Like, it's the language of the web, right? It was designed to be open and accessible to everyone. So what you're saying is, instead of being stuck with whatever software, you know, some big tech company decides to put out there, HTML lets us create stuff and open it on our own terms. I was reading this thing about how companies like Microsoft and Google, they make it surprisingly difficult to save files in like really common formats like RTF. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. That is like textbook vendor lock-in right there.
Really?
It's subtle, right? It's not always about forcing you into some walled garden. It's more like nudging you towards their ecosystem.
I see.
It's so convenient that you don't even think about leaving until, of course, you need to open that crucial document and, oh, wait, you can't. Proprietary format, no longer supported.
Ouch. Okay, so it's like building your dream house, but on rented land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you might have this great setup, but ultimately you're at the mercy of the landlord.
Exactly.
Okay, that officially has me a little worried. But before we completely spiral here, you mentioned HTML being the key. Explain it, like, I'm five, why is it so important for, you know, breaking free?
Okay, imagine this. You create a document today using HTML. Because it's an open format, viewable on anything with a web browser, you will be able to open and read that same document decades from now.
Okay.
Can you say the same thing about, let's say, a file you made in some word processor back in, oh, I don't know, 2002?
That's the good point. I have files on floppy disks I can't even access anymore.
Right.
So with HTML, it's like we're future-proofing our stuff.
Yeah.
But what about the security aspect? You hear so many horror stories these days, right, about data breaches. Is HTML actually secure?
It's a great question, and it's super important to address. So when we talk about security in this context, we got to differentiate between the format itself and where it's stored. HTML being basically just text, right? It's actually very secure just by its nature. It doesn't have the same vulnerabilities you find in, you know, more complex software.
Okay, so it's more about where we choose to store our HTML files that determines their security, not HTML itself.
Exactly. You can keep your HTML files locally on your own computer. That gives you the most control. Or you can store them on a server, which obviously has its own security questions.
Right, right.
But the cool thing about HTML is it's so portable. You can just move your files from one place to another. Way more flexibility, way more control over your data.
That makes a lot of sense. So how does all this connect back to big tech, vendor lock-in? If HTML is so great, why aren't we all using it for everything?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
And it goes back to that word, convenience. Big tech, they're masters at making their products so easy to use.
Oh, yeah. They totally hook us with free storage, user-friendly interfaces. Before you know it, you're totally sucked into their world.
Exactly. And because their whole business model often revolves around, let's face it, collecting and using your data.
Right.
There's not a lot of incentive for them to push open formats like HTML that give users all the control.
So it's starting to sound a little bit David and Goliath here, but you're telling me that learning a bit of HTML can actually help even the odds.
Absolutely. And it's not about becoming some coding whiz overnight. Even a basic understanding can be super empowering.
Okay.
Think of it like learning a new language. You don't have to be a poet to hold a conversation.
I like that. So if we think of HTML as this language, what are the basic building blocks we need to get started?
Well, HTML uses these things called tags to structure content. Think of them like labels that tell your browser how to display the information. Mm-hmm. Like you use a heading tag for a title, paragraph tag for a block of text, you know, stuff like that.
And these tags, they're just plain text, right? Nothing too crazy.
Exactly. All plain text, which means you can create HTML documents using any text editor. You don't need any fancy software.
So no more relying on expensive software subscriptions just to make a simple document.
Yeah.
And I read that HTML can do more than just text, right? You can add pictures, links, even tables, just like in those, you know, fancy word processors.
Oh, absolutely. HTML is super versatile. And it's not just about static documents. It's the foundation of the interactive web. You can put images, videos, even audio directly into your documents.
Okay, this is already sounding a lot cooler than I originally thought.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see the potential here.
And that's just scratching the surface. We haven't even talked about links. Imagine clicking a word in your document and boom, it takes you to an online glossary or directly to the research that supports it. HTML makes it super easy.
Okay, sold. But before we get ahead of ourselves and start building the next Wikipedia, let's bring it back down to earth for a sec. Where can people even start if they want to explore this whole HTML world?
That's a great question, and it leads us perfectly into our next topic.
So you've convinced me. HTML sounds amazing. But where do I even begin? It feels like there's so much to learn.
Don't worry. Honestly, it's not as overwhelming as it might seem at first. The beauty of HTML is that it's been around forever, right? So there are literally tons of resources online. You don't need to sign up for some expensive coding bootcamp or anything.
Okay, that's good to hear. So where would you recommend our listeners start their, like, HTML journey? What are some good baby steps?
Well, a fantastic place to start is actually w3schools.com. They've got these great tutorials, examples, even interactive exercises. It's perfect for beginners, but also for, you know, more experienced folks who just want to brush up on their skills.
W3Schools. Got it. I'll definitely check that out. But still, you know, learning something new, it can be a little intimidating. What would you say to someone who's feeling a bit overwhelmed by it all?
Oh, I totally get it. It can feel like a lot. The key, really, is just taking it one step at a time. You don't have to become an HTML master overnight, right? Even just learning a handful of those basic tags can make a huge difference.
You mentioned before that even making a super simple document in HTML can be empowering. Can you give me an example of what that would even look like?
Absolutely. Think about, like, a quick note you might write to yourself. Instead of using, you know, your usual word processor, you could create that same note using HTML. It looks something like this. Okay, so you'd have H1, that's for a heading grocery list, close the H1. Then P for paragraph milk, close the P. Another P, eggs, close it, and so on.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't seem too scary. It's literally just plain text with those tags you were talking about.
Yeah.
But what's the advantage of doing it this way? Like, what am I gaining?
Well, for one, you've now created a document that can be opened and viewed on basically any device with a web browser. Now, and in the future, which is huge, you're not tied to specific software or file types that might become obsolete. Plus, you decide where that data is stored on your computer if you want, no one else.
So it's like the difference between owning your own car and relying on a ride-sharing app, right? Like, you're not limited by their timetable or their rules. You have the freedom to go wherever, whenever.
Exactly. And just like learning to drive, it might seem a little tricky at the start, but once you get the hang of it, it's incredibly freeing. And with HTML, the possibilities go way beyond just simple notes or grocery lists.
Right, of course. Okay, so we've covered the basics and dipped our toes into the why. But I'm curious, beyond just personal use, what kind of impact could widespread adoption of HTML actually have on this whole vendor lock-in problem?
Ooh, that's where it gets really interesting. If more people started using and really pushing for open formats like HTML, it could seriously shift the balance of power.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where your ability to get to your own information, to share it, isn't controlled by some software or the whims of these tech giants.
It's like the difference between a world where only a select few have the keys to the library versus one where everyone has access to knowledge and information.
Exactly. And with HTML, that library is basically the internet itself. By embracing open formats, we're essentially advocating for a more democratic, more accessible digital landscape for everyone. And it's not just about individual empowerment either. Imagine the potential for collaboration, for innovation, when information can flow freely, no barriers.
It's like breaking down walls between countries, allowing for a more interconnected and vibrant global community, fostering this environment where ideas can be shared, built upon without these limitations.
Cool.
But let's be real for a second. Big tech isn't going to just roll over and give up control, right?
Probably not, no. But remember, ultimately, they're driven by what we, the users, want and demand. The more we, as consumers, prioritize open formats, prioritize data ownership, the more pressure it puts on them to adapt. And it's already starting to happen, slowly but surely. We're seeing more initiatives focused on data portability and making things work together better.
So it's kind of a two-pronged approach. It's about individual action, but also collective awareness.
Exactly. Educating ourselves and spreading the word about these open formats, making conscious choices about the software we use, and supporting those companies that actually align with these values.
And maybe just as importantly, sharing this knowledge with others, getting people excited about HTML, about the power of these open formats.
Absolutely. The more people understand this stuff, the more momentum we build towards a more open, more equitable digital world. You know, it's about empowering individuals to take control of their own digital lives.
It's about reclaiming our digital independence. Okay, so for our listeners who are ready to jump in to embrace this whole HTML thing, where do they go from here? What are some concrete next steps?
Well, besides checking out those resources online we talked about, I'd encourage everyone listening to just start messing around with HTML. Just dive in. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Try things out and see what you can create.
So it's more about playing around and having fun with it than like memorizing lines of code.
Exactly. There are tons of free HTML editors online. You can experiment without installing anything on your computer. Just open a browser tab and start coding.
I love that. It's so accessible, you don't need any special equipment or software, just a computer and an internet connection.
It's about as democratic as it gets. And once you see how HTML works, how those tags, even though they're simple, can create something real, it's really empowering.
I can imagine. Like learning this secret language, you know, a way to talk directly to the machines that kind of control our digital world.
That's a great way to put it. And the more people who learn this language, the less we're at the mercy of those who, you know, claim to speak it for us.
So it's not just about like learning HTML to make documents. It's about taking back control, our right to our own data and our own digital experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about pushing back against the idea that technology is something forced on us. We can shape it. We can control it.
It's about moving from just being passive consumers to becoming active participants. And HTML is like the tool that lets us do that.
Exactly. And it all starts with like a little shift in thinking. Instead of feeling overwhelmed by all this technology, we can choose to be curious, to explore, to experiment.
To remember that even in this world where big tech seems to be everywhere, we still have options. We can support open formats, demand to be able to move our data around, and prioritize our own digital privacy.
Yes. And we can choose to learn a bit of HTML to unlock what the open web can really do and help build a digital future that's more fair and accessible for everybody.
I love that vision. It's amazing to think something as simple as HTML can have such a huge impact. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this?
I'd say if you're feeling powerless against big tech, worried about your data, worried about getting locked in, remember, you're not alone, and there are things you can do. Start by checking out HTML. You might be really surprised by how powerful it can be.
A small step with the potential for a big impact. So well said. A huge thank you to you for sharing all of this incredible knowledge with us.
It's been my pleasure. This was a great conversation.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this journey. Remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about how this digital world actually works, the better you'll be at navigating it on your own terms. So until next time, stay curious, everyone.